Welcome to another episode of Destination Hockey. I am really excited for this week's show because I will be giving my take on how the NHL can increase their marketing of their stars, as well as going over my NHL All-Star team. Plus, Will Wiggleman will be joining me to dive into Andrei Vasilevskiy's new contract and talk Belmont Park. But first, it is raining outside, so let's give you the weather report. Tonight, we have severe thunderstorms and patchy fog. It will be down to 66 degrees. Tomorrow, more fog, but it will be mostly sunny. 87 degrees will be the temperature. Friday, we got the thunderstorms coming back. It will be hot. 86 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the day. And then Saturday and Sunday, we have mid-80s as the temperature and more thunderstorms. Not going to be a great weekend, but don't look that far ahead. Only worry about the next hour because we have another episode of Destination Hockey coming right up. From the destination for all things hockey, we will be right back.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
It was a busy week in the world of hockey, very unusual for this time of the year, but there were some big moves made, especially the local New Jersey Devils putting an icing on the cake of their fantastic offseason. They made a huge move, further cementing their offensive acquisitions this offseason. Jack Hughes coming in, so is Nikita Gusev from the Vegas Golden Knights for a 2020 third-round draft pick and a 2021 second-round draft pick. Not only that, but Gusev will return to the Devils on a two-year, $9 million contract. He was a restricted free agent, so they had to get him locked down to a deal. They talked with him over the weekend, pulled the trigger on a trade, and got him to a reasonable contract. A little higher than what he would have wanted to. That's because he chose Vegas and wanted to come to Vegas, but Vegas just frankly did not have the money for him. So he shipped off to New Jersey, as a lot of players sometimes are, but this is a new New Jersey Devils team. I say new for a reason, because this team is different. They're unlike the New Jersey Devils teams of the past. Finally, after years of struggling, after years of purgatory, the New Jersey hockey market is taking a stand. Hockey is a destination in this state once again, and that is being cemented with the hype surrounding the New Jersey Devils. Two seasons ago, the Devils were the surprise of the NHL. Taylor Hall went on an insane 94-point season. The Devils were the surprise. They made the playoffs, only to lose in five games to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But what you saw in that one home game where the Devils won was New Jersey coming together for their team. New Jersey has a pretty good fan base. We come from all over. I don't know of many Devils fans who live in Newark, where the Prudential Center is located, but Devils fans take the trip up Route 78 on the New Jersey Transit, and they get to games when they can. When the team is good, however, that changes things. When the Devils are good, the city of Newark, the state of New Jersey, makes the team a destination, as I have said. So Nikita Gusev really completes this offseason, because Gusev was the star KHL player last season, the best player in that league, and when you have players like that coming over, besides Vladimir Svechnikov with the Vegas Golden Knights, you usually get a talented player who you can instantly plug into your top six. And the Devils need that, because sure, they have some depth forwards, they got Wayne Simmonds, they have Jack Hughes, but they had that one open spot in their top six, and Gusev will take it and run with it. He's the type of player who's not going to put the puck in the net every single shift, but he can get assists. He's a dynamic playmaker, exactly what the Devils needed. I love this move for New Jersey. There are other teams out there who probably should have done this and will regret not doing this in a few years. The New York Islanders are one of them. They were heavy in the Nikita Gusev sweepstakes. They were willing to offer up the picks. However, they just didn't like that contract ask. They were not willing, just like the Vegas Golden Knights, to give $4.5 million per year to a player who has not suited up in an NHL game. And I'm sorry, but I disagree, because Nikita Gusev has the potential to be a star over the next 2 years. $4.5 million will be nothing for a player who is putting up 50-60 points in a top six forward role. The Islanders' offense is lacking. With Anthony Beauvillier not under contract, you have a Tom Kunackle, a Michael Dal Cole, a Leo Komarov in your top six if you're the New York Islanders. Plugging Nikita Gusev into that lineup would have instantly turned it from a bad, struggling same offense as last year that didn't do too well, to now you're adding that spark, something you can count on, a dynamic piece that finally the Islanders could say, we have improved our team, which they haven't done all offseason. There were other teams involved, but ultimately Vegas took the draft picks and the Devils were able to give Gusev that deal. Gusev was not going to allow a trade. The Vegas Golden Knights weren't going to do a trade. A team wasn't going to be interested in Gusev if they traded for him, and then he said, I'm not playing for you. But Gusev's not that selfish type of player. He's a good player, and he will be a great one for the New Jersey Devils. Nikita Gusev to the Devils for a third and second round pick. Devils also making headlines by re-signing Will Butcher to a three-year, $11.2 million deal. It's a bridge deal. It's a little longer than your traditional bridge deal, but I like it for both sides. Will Butcher's a really good defenseman. He has the potential, if P.K. Subban didn't come in, to be that number one defenseman for the Devils over the next 3 years, 4 years. Butcher is a great player. Just like Gusev, Butcher has the potential to make an impact every time he steps foot on the ice. In his first two seasons of his NHL career with the Devils, Butcher became a power play staple. He had 5 goals and 39 assists for 44 points in 81 games as a rookie. That is solid. He was named to the NHL All-Rookie Team with an All-Star, Charlie McAvoy. McAvoy's a great player. For Butcher to be awarded with an accolade right up there with McAvoy, that's impressive. And Butcher has the potential to continue to improve on an upward trajectory in his NHL career. I love Will Butcher the player. I love Will Butcher the person. He's a locker room leader, and at such a young age, he was drafted by the Colorado Avalanche in 2013. But now Butcher is the Devils' big defenseman. He's their defenseman that they can count on offensively. P.K. Subban will come in, and he will help things. But before P.K. Subban, don't forget, there was Will Butcher. Butcher will continue to play on the power play. I think P.K. Subban will take over on that number one pair. But on the second pair, that's a great role for Butcher. Expect a 40-point season from him. You really should. In a second-pair role, I think going up against teams, you know, second, third line, not their best competition, playing in the offensive zone a lot, now the Devils have two really great offensive weapons, and it allows them the opportunity to trade Sammy Vatanen if they please. The Devils and the Islanders, we just talked about the Islanders, are in similar positions. They both have defensemen that you could trade, Vatanen being one and Nick Leddy being the other. There's a lot of defensemen out on the open market. The Devils could be in a position to acquire a netminder or another forward if they want to trade Sammy Vatanen. We have retirement to announce over the last week. Chris Kunitz has announced that he will step away from the National Hockey League. He was a member of the Blackhawks last season, playing sparingly in a depth forward role. But we think back to what he's done in the past. 4 Stanley Cup champions. He's a great, great guy off the ice. He's a mentor. He's a leader. And that has allowed him to earn a job post-hockey already, signing with the Blackhawks. Chris Kunitz single-handedly destroyed the Ottawa Senators franchise in that double overtime game with the Penguins in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. There was a chance where the Senators were going to play the Nashville Predators in the Stanley Cup. The NHL would have had a heart attack. That would have been a ratings nightmare. But Chris Kunitz decided that he would not let the Ottawa Senators, the team that is the laughingstock of the NHL right now, make it to the Stanley Cup. So he took matters into his own hands, scoring a game-winning goal. He was a master of that, over 40 in his career. He's a clutch player, clutch genes in his blood. The NHL will greatly miss him. One player the NHL will not miss is Samuel Girard, and that is because he will be here for a very long time. He has signed a 7-year, $35 million contract with the Colorado Avalanche. And I want to compare this, we'll do this later in the show, to basketball, to baseball. These sports, you get a young player, you get a talent like that, you are locking him up, especially in the NBA. You're giving him, CJ McCollum just got a 3-year, $100 million extension. Samuel Girard has the potential to be a top NHL defenseman. I mean a top number one NHL defenseman. Yes, sure, he is blocked by a lot of players in Colorado with Bo and Byron and a lot of Cal Makar. You've got a lot of young talent in Colorado, but Samuel Girard is one of those pieces of young talent. He was acquired in the Matt Duchene trade from the Nashville Predators, and he is a star. He is a fantastic NHL talent, and for 7 years at $35 million, that is a testament to Joe Sakic building this team from the ground up with these sensational contracts. There's a very small chance this contract backfires. You have these long-term type contracts. It didn't work with Nikita Zaitsev. It didn't work with Michael Matheson in Florida. But Samuel Girard, this contract will work, guaranteed. He's too young a talent, too good a player for this deal not to work. He will be a top talent in the NHL for 7 years, and to pay $5 million per year for that, when if you wanted to sign him to a Devils level bridge deal, you maybe give him 3 years, $12 million. You're getting him for 7 years, $35 million. The salary cap will have exploded by the end of that contract. Samuel Girard will be in his prime. That is a wonderful, fantastic Nathan MacKinnon-level steal for the Colorado Avalanche. And another steal that took place, armed robbery occurred in the NHL, and that was the Ottawa Senators once again gifting another franchise cap space in return for immediate financial relief. I kind of feel bad for the Ottawa Senators. I just finally understood what it's like to have a team in Canada. I went to the post office. It costs $17 to ship a small package to Canada, and they get 3/4 the money on their dollar. I'll pay you $100 Canada, you get $75 US. Canada is not a stable dollar. It is a tough economy up there, and for a hockey team that's cheap and broke, the Ottawa Senators are in a brutal situation. They have no money. They traded Cody Ceci because he's vegan. What they have done is insane, preposterous, ridiculous, the offseason that they have had. They just took Ryan Callahan's contract from the Tampa Bay Lightning, which was approximately $5 million, because insurance would cover 80% of it. Insurance. An insurance company out there, I don't know which one, but they sadly have to pay Ryan Callahan's contract because he can no longer play in the NHL. Callahan's a great player. He's a great guy. I've said that about a lot of players in this show, but Callahan perhaps best exemplifies that. And he got shipped away to Ottawa because they are too cheap to pay Mike Condon, another struggling player, a goaltender who will be stashed in Syracuse if he's lucky with how many goalies Tampa Bay has. But another deal where Ottawa helps out a struggling team. No one else in this league probably would have taken Ryan Callahan. His contract was too high. But the Ottawa Senators bailed out their arch rival, their division foe, and in return, they will be able to now sign Braden Point. They have almost $11 million in cap space. They have a culture there where players take pay cuts, and Braden Point will now have the salary cap space to get locked up to a long-term deal. And finally, staying in the Atlantic Division, we do have a minor deal to report, one that I just want to talk about because it relates to Samuel Girard. Evan Rodriguez has re-signed with the Sabres on a 1-year, $2 million deal. This is another example of a player taking a short-term deal through arbitration when the Sabres probably made a mistake in seeing talent right before their eyes and turning a blind eye to it. Rodriguez has emerged as a top six forward last season. He posted career highs in goals with 9 and points with 29. Sure, this guy's not going to be a 60-70 point player one day, but he's a physical player, he's an NHL talent, and he's growing. He was fourth amongst Sabres forwards in average time on ice. He was fourth in on-ice 5-on-5 shot differential. He had a great year. He is someone unlike Kyle Okposo, unlike Jeff Skinner, unlike these old, aging players who put up the stats. As someone who watches Sabres games, as someone who feels bad for this organization, Evan Rodriguez was one of the good guys. He was one of those players that you would not have had any harm locking him up to a four-year, $11 million deal, similar to Oscar Sundquist. You would have no harm locking him up to a three-year, $9 million deal in a bridge deal. Evan Rodriguez is one of those players that will be around for a little bit in the NHL. He will work harder than everyone else. He will play harder than everyone else. And the Sabres should have rewarded him. They did not. They went to arbitration on a one-year deal, and they might pay the price down the line. When we return, I will go over an all-NHL team that I created. The NHL, unfortunately, doesn't really market their stars. This is an example of how to do that. From the Destination for All Things Hockey, we will be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
I'll be honest. I am not a fan of the NBA. I know people who are. I just do not understand it. But one thing they do exceptionally well, and I mean really, really well, is market their stars. There's a select 20 players in the NBA that everybody knows, whether you follow the league or not, and more importantly, idolizes, adding a new element to a league defined by talent. The NHL should take notes and follow suit. The idea of a team resonates throughout the NHL, and that's a good thing, but the players have to be more in the spotlight. One way of doing this would be highlighting more individual accolades, creating stardoms for players that have had their share of successful seasons. The NBA has an all-NBA team that bonuses and contracts are revolved around, and the NHL needs an upgrade to their current format. Right now they do this all-star team, kind of goes under the radar. I didn't even know about it until today, and I talk about hockey every week. They post about it on social media once. It's not a good format. So what I did is I took the NHL's element of a team, and I compiled all the top performances from last season, and I made an all-NHL team. Similar to how the NBA does their all-NBA team, I want to make a lineup. A full roster of 18 players and two goalies that make up the best players in the NHL. I took three factors into account. The stardom of the player, that's what we're talking about. Who's the biggest star? And their overall value to the league. That's important. That's number one. What does the player give to the National Hockey League? Number two, obviously, their prior season. That's important. You can't have a player, Alexander Ovechkin, for example, tragically gets injured next season, puts up 20 points. He's not going to make it, unfortunately, even though he's a big star. And one thing I want to do, which will be a little fun, is we're playing some fantasy hockey here. We're not just taking the 12 forwards with the most points and throwing them into a lineup. We're going to make a team that fits, one that you could throw out into the ice. So that fourth line, you're going to need some physical players. That third line, you want a defensively depth-scoring group of guys. We're going to focus on that. So we don't want Connor McDavid on our fourth line. We want physical grinders. I included the playoffs just for the heck of it. I think that that is crucial. That's important. I don't like how the NHL and other leagues, you could have a player like Jordan Binghamton, for example. Someone who emerges late in the regular season. You cut the award season off there and then dominates the playoffs, wins a Stanley Cup. A player who single-handedly wins their team a Stanley Cup should be more important than your guy who had a good regular season and didn't make the playoffs. So with all of that, let's dive into our rankings, starting with our top line. First off, at left wing, Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov had 128 points last season, the most since Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr in 1995. His 87 assists, that was the most since Joe Thornton in 05. That is huge. That is a fantastic season. This is someone that comes into the league and says, I am going to put up a point every night. I am going to dominate you. You cannot stop me. And that was apparent. He demolished, destroyed, took over the Lightning record for points in a season. It was the most successful season in their history in the regular season. Highest scoring Russian-born NHL player. The accolades pile up. Nikita Kucherov, you could say what you want about how many stars he has around him. Sure, if he was on the Edmonton Oilers and you swap places with Connor McDavid, I'm sure McDavid's putting up 150 points and Kucherov's down to 80. But nonetheless, Nikita Kucherov is an all-star, he's a star, and the NHL doesn't highlight him enough. He needs to be one of the players that is doing media tours, that is talking to fans and marketed well. His jersey should be higher selling. In football, when you have Tom Brady winning Super Bowls and putting up these insane individual seasons every year, the fans want to buy his jersey. They want to see the star. Nikita Kucherov needs to do a better job at that. He needs to be marketed. He's the top winger in the NHL. He's on my number one line. Connor McDavid comes in as the center, and even though the Edmonton Oilers were terrible last season, they were disappointing. They missed the playoffs for the 12th time in 13 seasons. Connor McDavid dominated. Connor McDavid did not give up. He did not hold back. It showed. The last game of the season, he worked so physically hard. He was injured tragically in the last game of the season. He recovered throughout the offseason. He will be fine next year. But McDavid just took the NHL by storm, similar to a lot of players on this list. In his fourth full season, he tied his career high in goals, 41. He's not just a playmaker. The man puts the puck in the net. He has some snipes. I saw a two-goal outing in Arizona. I have the puck from that game, the game puck that McDavid put two pucks in the net. Connor McDavid just took that game over. It was unfair for the Arizona Coyotes. they were looking at Connor McDavid with nothing to even do. They had no choice but to let him skate to the front of the net and shoot the puck and score. Two goals that game, that was commonplace. Connor McDavid, with 116 points last year, was really, really good. He earned his second Hart Trophy nomination. Only reason why he didn't win is because his team was terrible. Most valuable player. How valuable can you be if your team still stinks? He also earned his third consecutive Ted Lindsay Award. This is important, though, because this award recognizes the best player in the league as voted by his peers. So they are voting him the best player in hockey, and rightfully so. He is. 81 total even strength points last year. That was ahead of Nikita Kucherov's 80. Again, as I've said, you switch McDavid and Kucherov, the story would be different. And for my right winger, this is, again, my third category in the list, fit to the team. Leon Draisaitl is who I have on my first line right winger for this mock NHL All-Star team. The reason why I have that is because Leon Draisaitl would have been the second center, third center, second line winger, but Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are a pair. They are a combo. They are a duo, and they should not be separated ever, not even on this list. If the Edmonton Oilers had any sort of depth, this would be the greatest combo in potentially league history for the next few years. They put up insane numbers. Draisaitl was actually one of the best players in the NHL last season. When a lot of people criticized his 8-year, $64 million contract, I believe those are the numbers, that he signed with Edmonton, they were actually locking him up before he reached his full potential, and that full potential showed last season. He finished fourth in the NHL in scoring. The roles reversed for him as opposed to McDavid. McDavid is known as that playmaker, doesn't really put the puck in the net. Draisaitl is known as that puts the puck in the net, doesn't really, you know, too flashy, not the most dynamic player, but they are both complete, insanely talented individuals. He finished second, this is Draisaitl, only behind who else but Alexander Ovechkin. Leon Draisaitl is a star. He is someone that the NHL needs to highlight. No one knows his name. You ask someone who doesn't really follow hockey too much, Leon Draisaitl is not someone that comes up on the list too often, but he's a star the NHL needs to highlight, because that's what he is, a star. Moving on to my second line, here's a player, again, that divides people, that some people hate and some people love. And coming in as my second line left winger, that's Brad Marchand. And he is growing at a ridiculous rate, even though his age is going up every season. Marchand had a career year last year. He set highs in both assists with 64, and he hit the triple digits with 100 points. He's one of the best three-zone players in the league. He puts up those point totals as well on the shorthanded play, on the power play, and at 5-on-5. He's one of the game's best all-around forwards, and he needs, again, like all of these stars, to be in the spotlight more, but for the right reasons. Brad Marchand should be highlighted as the NHL's villain. He shouldn't be a player that just everyone hates and throws under the rug. He does some good things. He injures players like Marcus Johansson, who eventually became his teammate, and that's not okay at all. But every league needs their villain. Every league needs their Kevin Durant. And Brad Marchand can be that Kevin Durant. He just needs more spotlight. He just needs to do more interviews, to actually talk when he's asked questions. The NHL needs to have a legitimate sit-down conversation with Brad Marchand and say, hey, you could be more. You're on one of the league's best contracts. You don't make enough money? Let's do some off-the-ice stuff. Let's get you more spotlight. Let's get you more airtime. Player who gets all the airtime, Sidney Crosby, he comes in as my second-line center. He scored 57 points in 45 games before the All-Star break, 43 points in 34 games after the break. If you guys can't do the math quick enough, that's 1.26 points per game on both sides of the All-Star break. He's consistent. He does it all. After injury concerns early in his career, that is six straight healthy seasons for the best player, one of the best players of our generation. He was nominated for the Hart Trophy again. He's one of the best players in the NHL, and he's locked up for the next half decade. He signed one of the most team-friendly contracts in the NHL, and Jim Rutherford better be thanking him every single day, because if he didn't, Penguins would be completely and utterly screwed. They have about $10 million locked up in players that should not be receiving more than $1 million per year. Their replacement level, Jack Johnson, Eric Gabranson, Brandon Tanev. There's a lot of players there that are decent players, but you can replace them very easily. They should not be getting paid long-term for an expensive average annual value. Sidney Crosby, it's what he does off the ice. He's a team player. He gives the best interviews. Everyone loves him. He's one of the players that I will say is marketed appropriately. The NHL, everyone knows who he is. There are fans who just have his jersey, don't even follow hockey because they decided to buy it because it looks cool at parties. Sidney Crosby is a star. He's like all these other players we've talked about. I think there could be potential to market him a little better, but I will give up and say, yes, the NHL does a good job with Sidney Crosby, but he is the exception. And completely flipping the narrative, the opposite of that, Nathan MacKinnon, he is the heartbeat of the Colorado Avalanche offense. He's the heartbeat of the NHL. This man works hard. He is a really solid talent, and he puts up points. He knows how to drive offense from breakouts to shot generation to possession. Whenever he's on the ice, it's all MacKinnon. For those of you Islanders fans listening, it's kind of like Matt Barzal. He just dominates puck possession. He always has the puck. He's one of the best drivers in the league, something that makes him and everyone around him better. Over a minute of offensive zone time per game for MacKinnon. He has the puck on his stick for over a minute a game just in the offensive zone. He brings the puck up the ice, carries it. He's like your solid point guard, distributing yet also knowing how to score for himself. Over 200 shots last season just in the slot. He's truly a beast, and he deserves to be on TV more. He deserves to be further in the postseason. The NHL needs to realize the Colorado Avalanche are on the cusp of contention, especially with today's Samuel Girard news. They have a player, Nathan MacKinnon, who needs to be unleashed. Will that happen? We shall see. For our third line, Alexander Ovechkin comes up on our left wing. The average age of a Maurice Rocket-Richard trophy winner is 24.5. That's when you take out Alexander Ovechkin, who has won it 6 times since he's turned 25, which is over the average, and 3 times since he has turned 30. 51 goals, 38 assists for the Russian last season. One of the best players in the NHL, a star, won his Stanley Cup. Nothing negative to say about Alexander Ovechkin, except that he's line mates with Tom Wilson. We don't like that. A player I do like, however, that's Alexander Barkov. At only 23 years old, this man set career highs in goals, assists, 35-61 respectively. He brought Selke Trophy-worthy defense to carry every single second of the 22 minutes he played per night. Barkov is exactly what the NHL needs. He's exactly what our team needs on our third line, a defensively oriented star to pair with Alexander Ovechkin and Patrick Kane. He comes in as our right winger. He again set new career highs. The NHL has set to increase scoring to help increase their fandom and partnership from the people who watch the game. Goals are good, and Patrick Kane was one of the players who helped that come into play. Another new career high for him, 66 points, 66 assists, 110 points. He only had 44 goals. I say that with only because you had players over 50. But Patrick Kane, he's had some issues in the past. He's putting those behind him. He is the heart and soul of the Chicago Blackhawks organization. He does everything, and he will be a perfect fit for our third line. And here's where it gets interesting. The fourth line. I could have plugged in Steven Stamkos, Johnny Gaudreau, a lot of talented players, but I didn't want that. I wanted players who can deliver on a fourth line. And most importantly, one thing I'm going to highlight is players who are going to be future stars. They're not exactly stars right now, but give them 3 years, they will be at the top of the NHL hierarchy. And one of those players is Matthew Tkachuk out of Calgary. He's already established himself as one of the best two-way forwards in hockey. 77 points last season. This man's been in the NHL for 3 years. Calgary needs him. He's a restricted free agent, And he's not really getting mentioned with Mikko Rantanen, Braden Point, Mitch Marner. But if I'm any team, he's someone I'm looking at and just salivating at the thought of adding him to my team. Matthew Tkachuk, on our fourth line, is a great player. He loves to play all areas of the ice. He's only 21, put up 24 power play points, third on the team in hits, one of the most effective fighters, agitators. He's pissed off Drew Doughty. I love Matthew Tkachuk. He is a fantastic player. And then our center, how could we forget Patrice Bergeron? Another sensational contract, another sensational player. He's a pro's pro. He plays the game the right way. He does everything you want in a player, especially on a fourth line role for a team of all-stars like this. Bergeron's game is not declining in any way. He continues to improve. Last season was probably the best season of his entire career. In only 65 games, and that's important because he only had 65 games in an injury-shortened season, 32 goals, 47 assists. Unreal stuff. That's a point per game. He's going to put up 90 points if he plays a full season. And most importantly, he led his team to a Stanley Cup. One of their top scorers. At 34, he would be the captain if not for Zdeno Chara. Patrice Bergeron comes in as our fourth line center. And one of my favorite players in the NHL, Mark Stone, as our fourth line right wing. 25 games for the Golden Knights between the regular season and postseason. 23 points in creating one of the most dynamic lines in hockey with Matt Pacioretty and Paul Stastny. Thomas Tatar was added at the trade deadline for a first, second, and third round pick last season. Mark Stone was different. He made an impact. If it wasn't for a monumental collapse, the Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup. It's tough for you to change my mind. Stone did not disappoint when coming over. He was exactly what they needed. And one thing I really like about Mark Stone, and this stat sums it all up, Mark Stone has the best impact-to-teammate goal differential in the entire NHL. You plug Mark Stone in your line, you're getting more goals. Moving over to the defense, on our first pair, I really like Toronto's Morgan Rielly. A lot of people would disagree with me, but I have him actually over a Brett Burns, over an Erik Karlsson, over a player like that, because he puts up the points, but he also carries an entire defense. He's the only Toronto Maple Leaf locked up past next season, and that is a great thing for Toronto because he's on a friendly deal, $5 million per season, put up career highs in points with 72, most by a Leafs defender since 1978. He brought a lot of pucks and a lot of offense to Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitchell Marner on the first power play, and Tyson Barry could really help him because finally he's got someone on his side who can create a top NHL pairing. And one of the most fantastic come-from-behind performances I've ever seen last year, that was Mark Giordano. And most NHL players do not get significantly better after age 30, but that was Mark Giordano. He is just doing something I've never seen before. At 35, he just blew out his 13 years prior, putting up the best statistics of his career. Led his team on power play ice time, putting up over 70 points, I believe. He was someone that you want on your team, and he won the Norris Trophy. Now, here's where my ranking gets interesting, because again, I'm prioritizing players who are future stars. Not your Brett Burns's, not your Erik Karlsson's, not players who are shadowed by other players in their market, who just don't really have it, in my opinion, as a full dynamic defenseman. Thomas Chabot does, and last season, for 55 points in 70 games, this man was dynamic and elite. Elite. I would take him over Erik Karlsson, Brett Burns, a lot of defensemen any day of the week. And yes, he's getting hidden in Ottawa, but every team needs their star. And for Ottawa, Thomas Chabot is that star. He did slow down the stretch, but Ottawa traded away literally every player they had. That's understandable. He played 25 minutes per night of NHL hockey as a young kid. Thomas Chabot is someone that will continue to grow. I love the player. I love the person. Thomas Chabot, top pairing guy for years. John Carlson, someone who has already been that top pairing guy for years. For his second straight season, he's clocked more than 2,000 minutes of ice time, ranking him in the league's top 10 for minutes. This has given him Norris Trophy buzz. His point totals are a result of excellent playmaking, 14 primary assists during 5-on-5 play, 18 on the man advantage. he is perfect at setting up your stars, which would be great for this team. Here's a player you did not expect on this list. And for our third pairing defenseman, I'm going with Erik Gustafsson. 60 points in 79 games last year. That shocked me looking at the stat sheet, but Erik Gustafsson flew under the radar as a top defenseman. Top defenseman. I love him as a player. It was one of the best defensive outings in hockey. No one really realized it, but he's 8th overall in the NHL with 43 assists, 32 even strength points, offensively gifted guy. When you have Brett Seabrook and Duncan Keith making $10 million a year, having Erik Gustafsson locked up on a $1.2 million deal, crucial. Victor Hedman comes in as our final defenseman ranked, and it's because of his play on the power play, his play on 5-on-5, his play on the penalty kill. This guy does it all. He plays the point, quarterbacks the league's best power play. In 12 games without him, the Lightning scored on 19% of its power plays. In 70 games with him, 30%. 182 shots on goal by Hedman, fourth most on the team. 22 minutes average of ice time for Hedman, a team best. Drafted behind John Tavares, he's slowly emerging as someone who probably should have been drafted before him. And finally, for our goaltenders, Jordan Binghamton and Ben Bishop. We're counting playoffs. We're counting the future. We're counting that stardom that the NHL needs to market. Jordan Binghamton is the number one reason why the NHL was so great last season. He took the St. Louis Blues, single-handedly turned them around, shut out in his first start. After years in the minors, after years of working so hard, he led a team to a Stanley Cup single-handedly, playing dynamic goaltending, .928 save percentage, 2.06 goals against average, 28 games. The team was forced to give him starts, even though he wasn't even part of their organization a year prior. Jordan Binghamton, for me, is the future of the NHL. Comeback players, Andrew Hammond-style story. The NHL needs to pounce on that and market it accordingly. And finally, our last player ranked, Ben Bishop, was a wall for Dallas in their final game, making 52 saves as they were eliminated by the Stanley Cup winning St. Louis Blues. But that was symbolic of his entire season, one in which he dominated all year. The Stars went from averaging 2.68 goals allowed to 2.23 following their owner's tirade that was intended towards their Stars. To be a goalie and to get yelled at by upper management and play so much better, being a goalie is a headspace. It's something that not everyone could do. Ben Bishop did it exceptionally. So, that is my team. To review, our first line, we've got Kucherov, McDavid, Draisaitl, followed by Marchand, Crosby, MacKinnon, Ovechkin, Barkov, Patrick Kane, Matthew Tkachuk, Bergeron, Mark Stone. Rounding out our defensive core, we've got Morgan Rielly, Mark Giordano, Thomas Chabot, John Carlson, Erik Gustafsson, Victor Hedman, and Jordan Binghamton, and Ben Bishop in net. When we return, Will Wiggleman will be joining me to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders' new arena at Belmont Park. From the destination for all things hockey, we will be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. For our interview today, I am joined by Radio Hofstra University's Will Wiggleman. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
Of course. One thing I want to highlight with you, because I know this is one of your trigger points, on Monday, the Tampa Bay Lightning caused a late ruckus by signing goaltender Andre Vasilevskiy, not just to any contract, but an 8-year extension worth $9.5 million per season. The contract includes a full no-movement clause for years 2 through 5 and a modified one for the final 3 years. Pretty crazy news coming out of the NHL.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. It'll make him the third highest paid goaltender as of right now. He will be the third highest paid goaltender in 2020-2021 when the deal starts, behind Carey Price and a brand new contract for Sergei Bobrovsky. But I don't think this is a recipe for success. I mean, you've seen it in the past. Henrik Lundqvist has a big contract, and Carey Price's contract just started. But I'll focus on Lundqvist, and he's had a big contract. He got his due with the Rangers, but that left the Rangers with not a lot of cap space to put pieces around him. And I don't think the key to success is to pay a goaltender a significant amount of money. It's kind of like in football, you want to win while your quarterback is on his rookie deal, because then you have a lot of extra money to put pieces around him. So I think it's really similar in the NHL when you're talking about goaltenders.
The Rangers, however, have Brendan Smith, Mark Stahl, and Kevin Shattenkirk locked up to a combined over $15 million. The reason why I like this, I don't love it. Granted, I do not love this deal for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but the reason why I'm okay with it is because the Tampa Bay Lightning, at this current state where it stands right now, do not have one bad contract on their roster. They can afford to give out $9.5 million when they literally do not have one contract on their roster where you can point to and say, this will hurt the team down the line. Ryan McDonough is the only one that might be a slight overpay into his older years, but he was a leader of the NHL in plus-minus last year. He could be traded easily. For this deal, the Lightning didn't have to do it at all. He's got 3 years of NHL data. He could easily just be a product of a sensational team. They didn't have to do it, but they did. I'm not hating them because of it. I respect when you pay your goalie. The Islanders should have done it with Robin Lehner. Tampa decided to do it. I think it's not the best timing, not the best move, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, they were able to. When I saw this news, it was before they were able to ship off Ryan Callahan and save that three. They got $3.4 million in cap relief from that Callahan trade, so that brings the level down a little bit and helps out because they still have yet to sign Braden Point. They also have Adam Erne. He's arbitration eligible, so we'll see where that goes. I don't think they're going to sign Point until that arbitration case happens or if they can avoid arbitration. But, yeah, that Ryan Callahan dumping his contract off to the Senators that you mentioned earlier, I think that was a big part of help of this contract, of this Vasilevskiy deal. I think it was a big part in helping them stay below the cap and give them more flexibility. Now, this deal doesn't, I did not realize at first when I first saw it that the deal doesn't start until 2020. So next year, they are going, I feel like the Lightning are going to have to go all in, because it's going to be difficult for them to buy at the deadline. Mm-hmm. With this $9.5 million on the books for Vasilevskiy in the future, so I think next year is going to be that year where they're going to have to, where they can buy those rentals to the end of the season. So I think that it will give them less flexibility. But you're definitely right. There's not a bad deal, horrible deal on this Lightning roster. Steven Stamkos' deal didn't look great when he first signed it, but that's because of injury concerns, and he's been able to stay healthy. So there is that, and they have it's not like they have pieces that are immovable. So anyone's movable on there for cap flexibility. But I do think that to a point, I don't think he deserves a Vezina, first of all. I had him third out of the three finalists for the Vezina. I thought Ben Bishop should have won it, actually. He was absolutely sensational for the Dallas Stars. But Victor Hedman is one of, if not the best defenseman in the NHL. And Vasilevsky's had guys like Mikhail Sergachev, like Ryan McDonough, who you talked about, Dan Girardi. Anton Strelman's gone now, but he's been there the past 2.5 years, where Vasilevsky's really been that guy since they traded Ben Bishop a couple years ago at the trade deadline. And so he's had a very good defense to work with, and they've never had bad depth defensemen either. So I think Vasilevsky, in part, is a product of that, which is why I think the deal is an overpay. But don't get me wrong, he's a good goaltender. I just don't think he is the third best goaltender in the NHL.
So where do you see the Tampa Bay Lightning coming in this season? Because for me, I look at this team, I'm high on the Tampa Bay Lightning, even though Andre Vasilevsky is making $3.5 million next year, and then after that he's going up $6 million to $9.5 million. That could cause Tampa to have to trade a Tyler Johnson or something after next season. But next season, I find it difficult to look at a team and say that they're better than the Tampa Bay Lightning. Vegas, for me, is one of those teams that you could say that out of the Western Conference. And Boston and Toronto provide some trouble in the Atlantic Division. But I can't see a world in which Tampa doesn't make it further next year. I think they're... their playoff struggles have to be an outlier. They have a culture there where they're team first, very oriented around the Tampa Bay Lightning, not the player on the back of the jersey, but the logo on the front. Tampa has to be better. They have to. I can't see another season in which they lose, get swept by the worst team in the playoffs. It can't happen. They have to do better next season, especially when you're committing $9.5 million to a goaltender.
Yeah, I think last season it was definitely a mentality thing. They gave up after game one. After blowing a 3-0 lead to the Columbus Blue Jackets, they gave up. That was a team that they quit on their teammates. They quit on their coach. And I'm surprised that the Lightning didn't pull something similar to the Toronto Raptors and fire John Cooper and get someone else. So basically, I think that the Lightning gave up and that they didn't have that killer mentality. They did not have a playoff mentality, and that it has something to do with the fact that they were able to coast to they coasted into the playoffs. I mean, they made the playoffs in March, and it was smooth sailing from there, and they won the President's Trophy in March. So They were unable to stay focused towards the end of the season and into the playoffs, and that really affected them early on, and then they kind of just quit.
One team that did not quit, however, one team that is not giving up, that's the New York Islanders, continuing to promise Belmont Park-related things. Next up, we've got a groundbreaking ceremony, according to multiple sources, coming after Labor Day. Groundbreaking should be earlier, but they're going to do a ceremony. I don't know what's going on. It was supposed to be July 18th, supposed to be late August. Now we're getting something after Labor Day. Is this bad news, good news? Where's your positivity level with the New York Islanders' new arena?
I don't think John Ledecky is letting this fall through. I think that man is on a mission. This is his big thing. This is going to be his mark, his legacy as an owner of the New York Islanders, and I don't think he's going to let this fall through. Now, positive things are you have that permanent Long Island Railroad station coming to Belmont. Mm. That was confirmed by New York Governor Cuomo. So that's a big step towards having that permanent arena there. I don't think there's that much reason to be concerned now if we do get into the fall and there's still nothing. That's where I'm going to start to be concerned. But I think at this point it's just going through normal, you know, normal delays, and the people who don't want the arena are just getting their last words in and delaying it as much as possible. But I think they're delaying the inevitable at this point.
I completely agree, Will. These concerns, these setbacks are slightly uncomfortable for Islanders fans given the past of this fan base, but I'm confident. However, one thing that I do want to highlight is it's pouring right now. We do a weather report before every broadcast. The weather will start to impact things. If you get too late into the fall, at what point does someone say, let's wait through the winter and wait until the spring? That's my only concern, but let's hope something gets done fast. Will, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, David.
Of course. You can catch us on Instagram at @drive4five, Twitter at @drive4five_, and on Facebook at the official Destination Hockey page where we do live streams. I'd like to greet everyone joining us on live today. For those of you who are looking for tickets to a game, concert, or sporting event, I have the solution for you. Use code DRIVE45 on SeatGeek, a website for all your ticket needs, for $20 off. Also, be on the lookout for a new redesigned website with added employees coming up soon in mid to late August at driveforfive.blog. Be on the lookout for that, guys. Really excited for a new redesigned website that I've been working on all summer, announced later in the month. That's all I've got for you today. For more great content, including, cough, cough, that Noah Dobson interview we have been promising, we will have you covered for the rest of the summer. But until next time, from the Destination for All Things Hockey, we'll see you next week.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is demanding the Washington Post apologize to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for running an opinion piece calling the Kentucky senator a Russian asset.
Mitch McConnell is a man that knows less about Russia and Russian influence than even Donald Trump, and I know nothing. So I think it's a horrible thing when a paper, which is really just a paper for the benefit of Amazon, the Washington Post, is fake news.
The country's top border official is defending his agency's treatment of illegal aliens on the southern border.
They risk their lives every single day to help and protect